Welcome back.
What's happening?
This is like the Melody Supply never-ending podcast. We just banged out so many different episodes, and I'm ready for more. Yo, this is going with like a crazy momentum, and I'm happy to have Jamel Williams, a.k.a. Jamel Dion, a.k.a. the author of The Breather, because yo, let me just start off. If you haven't heard that track yet, there's so many quotable just bars and lines on there that, you know what I mean? I think that we took some time to put this record like in front of a lot of people because I think that it might take a while for them to digest it all.
Right.
I'm serious because I listen to it almost every single day. And it's like when you watch a movie and yeah. You might catch something different. And you're like, I didn't notice that until just now.
True. That's how I got to be. That was the vibe that I was trying to bring anyway. Those early vibes where it was like, you're not going to catch everything in one listen. It's like, wait a minute. It's like every time you listen to it, you catch something new. It's like, damn, why I ain't catch it the first time?
And
it feels brand new every time you listen to it.
Right. It's true. Give me some of the inspiration behind it.
Man. As far as the inspiration behind it, it was just I was sitting on the beat for a long time. I was sitting on it for a minute because I bought it back on. Because I ended up buying the beat, shout out to Motion, ended up buying it like around Christmas and New Year's time. And this was around the time that the Kenfolk collab tape was about to drop. Shout out to my boy Kato, and Where You From video out now. But yeah, just around that time, it was just a lot of transitioning that was going on with me. I just moved into my apartment, graduated college, was about to start a new job. And it was just a lot of good and bad going on at that time. And I just felt like I lost it musically for a little bit because it just took a while to bounce back from a lot of situations that I was going through before graduating, after graduating, and then also really because this was also the time where I ended up moving to Arizona full time. So I just felt like it was like
had a lot going on.
Yep. And it was like I was trying to write, but at the same time I just didn't really feel it. And it was just because I was sitting on the beat for months, from December to like February or March. I was just writing little bits and pieces of it. And originally, it was supposed to be a record for me and my homeboy Kawan. But then it was just one night where I was like, you know what? I just told him, I was like, I'm going to have to take this whole beat for myself. And I just... I was like, I got something for it. I owe you later, but like I just got a spaz on this shit. And I was just at work and just sitting at my desk just writing and writing and writing. And it wasn't just like full through and through. It was just like little bits and pieces that I had every now and again. And then I just pretty much grouped all of those up together, and then that's how The Breather came about. And then just with the beat by itself, I was just like, I gotta go in on this. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yep.
And I didn't even expect that much response from it once it came out. I didn't think it was gonna gain that much traction that it did.
Right. Well, it's all about the audience. Finding the right audience for it. I've probably said that 900 million times, but...
I mean, you're a marketer, so of course.
Right. It's like... I know, but a lot of people be like, dude, it's not that simple. And I'm like, well, it's not. But, I mean, you always got to simplify something. I believe that you don't fully understand something until you can make it complicated and simple at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you just respect how complicated things are. But, you know, you can't really be professional at something unless you're doing it as, you know, making it look easy almost. That's why it's more easy to want to be a basketball player in the NBA than it is to be one. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's just kind of like, and I've been having, the past couple podcasts have been very deep into outside of music and stuff like that. So, like,
right.
I'm interested in, like, the creative process and how, you know, creative people get their, you know, inspirations for doing what they're doing. You know what I mean? Especially artists, music artists, painters, everybody that's in the entertainment industry, because it's unique. You know what I mean? Not everybody can do these things and just create ideas and turn it into a product or into a thing.
Not to mention execute it properly.
Right. Exactly. So it's very deep. I'm loving putting this podcast together, and all of the guests have been great. So let's talk about, can we talk about what's happening next?
Like, oh, okay, just as far as me is concerned with the music?
Yeah.
Man, oh man. No.
Because you're in the process. All right, so this is why I said all that, because this is, are you in the creative process right now? Are we, you know what I mean? Are you building right now? Are you sitting on something and you're like, waiting on the right timing?
That's exactly what it is. Everybody, everybody. Has, I'm gonna just because I don't want to, because I don't want to put it out too soon. It's not me just saying that, like, oh, I'm waiting for the right time. I know for a fact it's not the right time to announce this.
Okay.
Basically, I'm gonna go ahead and give people a little hint about this. So if you follow me on all of my social media, my Facebook, Jamel Dion, my Twitter and Instagram, Jamel_Dion, if you follow some of the content that I've been putting out, hint almost every Monday, it got something to do with that.
Okay. All right.
And that's all I'm gonna say for right now. But it's coming gradually, though. It's coming gradually. It's still at the drawing board. But it's gonna get. All I know is it's just gonna get executed a whole lot better and just in a whole different level than I ever had before. And just really getting real serious about it and putting some bags behind it like any other artist needs to do whenever they need to take some seriously. Right. Because
yeah, like I follow, so I, but at the same time it's like, yeah, I only know what you mean a little bit.
Mm-hmm. like
I follow. I know what you're talking about, but can I tell them?
Not yet.
No, not like, I don't know. No, I'm talking about like the Motivation Mondays. Is what you're referring to, right?
Yeah,
definitely follow his Motivation Mondays, because they are the funniest reality. How can I say it like that? That some of them are so friggin' funny, but they're so true too. That it's funny as shit.
Yeah,
I follow and I gotta share every time I get a chance. You know what I'm saying?
The Hustle With Me Mondays, and then just
that's what it was. Hustle With Me Monday.
And then the random ass videos I just be putting out, just talking shit, cause I ain't got nothing else to do, and I just be posted at the house, or if I be posted at work or something, I'm like, let me talk my shit for a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny because that's the, you know, that's the experience part of it that, like, I love that part. You know what I mean? There's like a side of the music. Who is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Like, let them know the interviews. You know, even as a music fan and growing up in the era and time that I did, you know what I'm saying? Most people like Tupac so much because of the things outside of music. Most people like a lot of other rappers because of the movies or things that they've done outside of music. Or, you know, it depends. Different people. But that's just what it was, that, you know, music artists getting interviews was a new thing until the 90s. You know what I mean? Like, the media and more of, like, hip-hop channels and platforms and magazines started blossoming in the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
So, us growing up in those times, you know what I'm saying, showed... It's kind of obvious that now it's kind of like we've got the ball in our court where we can... You know, somebody asked me one time, I said this before, they were like, how come it's taken so long for you to put together some of the platforms that you're doing, you know, even if you did digital marketing, all that stuff before? And I was like,
that don't matter.
Because back then, no, but it's back then the platforms that would allow it for me to be able to, you know what I mean? They wouldn't... it would be censored and stuff like that, where it's like, if I can't, in nowadays, in this platform that I've been using and getting onto Spotify and iTunes and Google Play Store and getting this podcast to where I want it to be, and we can come on here, swear, it's explicit, it's got a warning label, everything is automated and designed perfectly the way that I want it to be, that was not accessible yet. So if I can't give my audience or my guest, you know what I'm saying, the comfort of be yourself, then I don't want it. That was kind of the answer. So, like, things have evolved in such a great shape in 1 to 2 to 3 that it's like, sometimes waiting on something and knowing the right time to pull the trigger is exactly what's going to make or break the next step.
Exactly.
You know, so I'm happy that, you know, we can bring in a little bit of entrepreneurship and make it exciting, because, you know, I've done so much of it before that I was like, writing blogs can only do so much, because not everybody's interested to running their own music business all the time. You know what I mean? So I love music, and reviewing music or helping work a record and finding the audience to, you know, helping with radio stations, even things like that. I'm just like, I'm intrigued with that so much. You know what I mean?
I feel it.
How do you, tell me about Jamel the, music fan, though, because that's kind of like where my background, seriously, everything that I've built comes from the type of a music fan that I am.
Oh, okay.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so kind of like the music that I'm into, or just like the music that kind of influenced like how I'm rapping now?
For example, like this, like I buy a CD and I listen from the first track all the way through, and I used to, like, you know, and I still do it, I'll open up the book, read all the writers in it and who's producer, and oh shit, they made that beat, you know what I mean, type thing.
Yeah. So
we are back.
Back at it.
So, creative process. I think that's what I was left off on.
Nah, I think it was describing myself as a music fan.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so with me, just as a, and then just basically how you described it, I would say with me, It's that's a real good question. Especially because I'm gonna take it back to when I started really buying hard copies of CDs or whatever. I was kind of like, pretty much kind of like you, just real fascinated with how, just looking at the artwork and stuff like that, looking through the little flip book. Some of the writing credits I looked at, but I didn't really know how to read them correctly around that time, because I started buying CDs when I was probably about maybe 6 or 7 years old, so I didn't really know the logistics too much of that until like around maybe 12 or 13. But and then as far as listening is concerned, I'm kind of like that person where it's like, I want to listen to the beat first to see how much I'm gonna react to it and how much I'm probably gonna play it, and probably determine if it's gonna be my favorite record on the album. But after that, I'll just listen to it through and through and through, just song by song by song. But there are some moments where a song could be so dope to where I'll play it over and over and over again, and I don't even get through the whole album. So it can be real fickle with me sometimes, but eventually I get through the whole thing.
There you go. That's interesting, you know what I mean? I like to know how people's minds work.
Because I do that, and I still do that till this day. It was like that ever since I was young.
Right. You like playlists?
I do playlists every now and again. I'm getting more in tune with them, especially since Spotify's been popping. But around the time when I was let's say from elementary to middle school, I wasn't a really huge playlist person. I mean, if you count if you count burning CDs as a playlist, then yeah. But
I was just going to say that I love playlists and making playlists so much. I think it's because I used to be like, I'd have a hot, you know, selection of different songs on burning CDs and little mixtape type shit that I used to do back in the day for my friends. And I didn't think of what I was doing, except for like, this is going to be a boring, long ass car ride. You know what I mean? Type of shit. And I just burn a bunch of CDs and be like, you know, this is the rock songs I can deal with. That was kind of like when I used to burn CDs, that's what I did personally. I was like, these are the songs that I can deal with. And because I've never been really like a radio guy, believe it or not. I don't like to listen to the mainstream music that they kind of feed to you on FM radio. So that's why I love internet radio, because I'm like, we got the freedom to listen to what our friends like to listen to. Let's give that to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be more of it, but not really. They just need to listen to us.
That would be actually very wise.
I know, yo, I'm telling you, I've had so much fun doing this. I'm like, back to back to back to back, let's get it done, dude. I'm loving it right now. Have so many different episodes coming out. And yeah, so many more songs and videos coming. And so let's talk about what do you do outside of music for entertainment?
Entertainment person.
Let's tell them a little bit about, you know, behind the scenes outside of the studio.
I'm definitely a gym rat.
Nice.
Go to fitness. Always do my best to make it to the gym in the morning before I gotta go to work and stuff, because me knowing myself, I like doing the early shift, and whenever I get home, I'm not gonna feel like going to the gym. So yeah, I'm definitely a person that likes to keep up with my health and just make sure that everything is all copacetic with that. There's a couple things I like to do.
Eat healthy. You like to cook?
Ironically, although I like to work out, I'm not a consistent eater. I'm not a consistent health nut. Like, I'll do it for like a couple weeks.
And then order a pizza.
But eventually I give in and then not only that, and then not only that, when you got a girlfriend that got friends and having to go out every now and again, it's like,
yeah. Right.
Sometimes it's hard to stay on track, but I mean, I do my best.
What's like a normal, like, you know what I mean? Because I could eat better. I'll admit that. I go to takeout a lot because I'm like on the go, or I'll be walking by somewhere and I'm like, hold on a second, grab a couple slices of pizza. Mm-hmm. And it's like, obviously melted cheese all the time, it just looks like it's not good for you, so it's obvious it's not. So you know, it kind of comes with the territory, being busy and being entrepreneur minded and social scene definitely makes a difference, so don't worry about that. Obviously ask the doctor, I guess. You know what I mean?
That's pretty advisable.
Yeah. Stay health conscious and keep yourself nice and, you know what I'm saying, active. But it's also important to keep conscious of what you're putting into your body more than just your mind. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? More than just your diet, also your mind. But it's, you know. So,
speaking of, you read
a lot of books?
I do. Speaking of books, and then right when you mentioned the mod, I actually just finished a book last night. I just finished Think and Grow Rich.
Nice. What's that about?
Basically, it's basically just a book about, because a lot of people think just with the title, it's just about how to, just basically like some get rich quick scheme type shit. But like, once you read the introduction of it, you start to understand more of it. It's really just them getting deeper in depth into how success all starts with your mind. Everything that you want to attract, you have to change your mindset to where it needs to be to get where it is that you want.
Yeah.
And it really gets in depth into that, and then basically a short summary on how I would describe it in just in the simplest terms as possible, with how people say, like, if you believe it, you can do it, or if you think it, you can achieve it,
or like, yeah, basically like a,
it's a real in-depth description of that.
Yeah. I think the way a lot of people get like turned away from that kind of a thing is like, you know, there's lazy people that try to be like, what's the expression that's kind of, it just gives off a negative connotation. That's like, fake it till you make it. Like, that doesn't sound good.
Ew.
When you hear that. You know what I mean? But it's kind of like, so that's like a negative way or a lazy way that people have kind of put a different interpretation. I think that's kind of why sometimes it puts a weird placement in people's minds, because I've actually come across that kind of thing where I'm like, law of attraction, and they're like, yeah, that's just fake it till you make it type shit, that some people get lucky. And I was like,
that's not true at all.
I was like, I mean, I see where that would come from if you're like really negative on the idea, but I'm like, but that's just a lazy way of thinking about it if you think that is all it takes, because it's more than that. I mean, I understand, and I know this for a fact, that I've made differences in my life and I've changed what I've wanted to change by mindset. And focusing on just getting that goal and understanding that also to add to that, you know what I mean? I hope that I'm not like completely taking the subject and going a different way with it, but little goals, like say you got a goal, you got to understand that sometimes little stupid goals lead up to getting that goal. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you're not exactly distracted.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Sometimes doing something before you get to that step, you know what I mean, will open another door. For the podcast, even. For the podcast. Oh, yeah. Building up all the other platforms, and then boom, boom, boom. And you know what I mean? Networking and for everything.
Basically.
Yeah. But it's good though. I'm happy to see, you know, growth and evolution in the network, and everybody that we work with. Honestly, would you consider yourself like a new artist? I kind of hope so, only because I know that you've been making music for a while. But when people, this is why. Because I've been listening to a lot of media and stuff, and they keep on saying, all these new artists, all these new artists, all these new artists. And I'm like, honestly, I've met a lot of artists that seem to me to be new, but they're not fitting the exact thing that people are, you know what I'm saying, complaining about. And I'm like, no, you got to listen to Jamel Dion, because he's, you know, a newer artist within the past 5 years of taking things serious. And like really building, I would consider pretty new. You know what I mean? Would you say that you're a new emerging artist?
I would honestly say so. Like honestly, I really would, simply just because this is actually the very, very first year that I've actually really not even taking things seriously, because I mean I've put out
third time's the charm. I'm telling you. But I was talking about, you know, growth and evolution within the network and within the circle. So
And then ask if I was, do I consider myself a new artist?
Right. There you go.
To pretty much finish off what I was saying with that, I would definitely consider myself, somebody that is a new artist, simply because, just this year, and then just, seeing how different that I've, seeing the different approach that I took with my music and everything, and actually seeing and taking heed and taking knowledge on what it is to really break into the industry and start making bread off of it. Doing those piece by piece, I feel like I'm definitely somebody that is considered a new artist, and then just getting outside, pretty much people outside of my hometown and where I'm staying at right now, and relying on them for support, and then just learning the politics of the game, and learning how to push your shit the right way. Let me say that, and and really just applying pressure that way. So I would, and as a result, having that result into new ears and solidifying the fan base. So definitely, I would consider myself a new artist, because at the end of the day, one thing I learned is they really don't give a lot of people don't give two shits about how long you've been doing it for. They just want to know how long you've been doing it right, and the results gonna show.
Exactly. Yeah, because there's kind of an etiquette. There's sort of like a blueprint, so to speak. Not even really that, but there's just proper procedures to do specific things. You know what I mean? So that is why a lot of music is handled or perceived that way. You got to. It's the reasons why I ask certain questions. It's like, how are you as a music fan? How are you as these specific things? Because after a while, when people start listening to these podcasts back to back to back, there's going to be entertainment. There's going to be, you know, new songs that are popping off. But also, every artist contributes, whether they know it or not, a little bit of business information that could help another artist that might be listening.
Right.
And it's awesome that I've been listening more. And actually, you know, these are the things that help the audience grow and how everybody, I mean, not even an audience grow in numbers. I mean, grow in like value. You know what I mean? Right. Seriously. Right. Because it's true. A lot of music artists are starting to take a lot of great steps in the right direction because there's no one way to do it.
Really isn't. There's no right.
It's just doing it with your flavor is kind of the entertainment industry, and I love that part of it.
Because you see people blowing up in so many different ways, but at the same time, it's like it's fun. I mean, it's challenging. I can say that it can be stressful at times, and sometimes when you somebody like me, sometimes I can get a little impatient. Sometimes it's the fun part of just figuring out what your niche is, and once you really figure that out and realize that, then once you see the momentum growing, it's like, oh shit, we on to something.
Right. Well, I couldn't imagine, like, an artist honestly really does have patience. It's just you feel like you don't have patience because the process is dragged out for so long that you'll hear a beat. You know, imagine the time span. Just put into consideration the timetable of when you choose a beat for a song, and then by the time it's actually out, available, branded, artwork done, distribution, now it's time for promotion. There's a big time in between that. Even with record labels, they're like, well, give me a week at least to get this, you know, registered and onto the distribution and the artwork come back. And you know what I mean? Like, no matter what, yeah, it's going to take a specific procedure that, you know what I mean? You can make the artwork look any way that you want, but it's mandatory or you won't get on iTunes type of procedures that we talk about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I love this industry specifically because, like I said, you can make the artwork look any way that you want. You know what I mean? And that's different than, like, say you're in a barber shop or something like that, where you're just expected to have that barber's pole. Yeah. So they all brand themselves kind of this. You know what I mean? Like, in a music artist, you can be dark, you can be bright, you can be happy, you could be sad, you fucking be all of it. You know what I mean?
It's like
freedom.
It's like the industry. It's like, it's, you have rules, but at the same time, they set it out in a way to where it's like, here's the rules, but you can bend them if you want to. Let's see how you can do it.
Right. They're applied lightly. Like an album release party. You could kind of do it, you know what I mean? I've seen pool parties. Like, you could save some money on that if you have like a summer release party, have it beach theme, but like literally pool party at some place.
Right.
You know what I mean? That could work. Private pool parties, even. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't always have to be a nightclub at night.
It really doesn't.
Especially when you're at an indie level and It's like, what is your take on this? A new artist that only has about 100,000 people that knows who you are. I mean, I say that if I was in that position, I'd be like, there's not too much stress on me yet, so that you can still, you know, comfortably analyze like what's working. You know, we all know that beginner stages that you're really paying attention to what's right and what's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How do you kind of decide the pros and cons?
Like on, like just basically on how to execute things?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one. Really just doing my homework behind on what it is that behind just some of the ideas that I may want to do. And
right.
Sometimes there'll be some ideas where it's just like, you know what? I already know this is gonna work. I'm giving this shit a go. I honestly don't care. But right. But yeah, most
Let's
of the
time. Try it.
Yeah. And then most of the time it's just really, really just doing my homework on it. And then just looking at who it is that currently supports me already, and then just doing this because I'll go ahead and keep it 100. Of course, I'm not a seasoned marketer, but I'm like, I'm like, it's all about using the judgment skills here. So
right.
just really just thinking it out and testing it out mentally, so to speak. And then,
yeah.
And then just giving some time to think on it. And then after that, just really deliberate. And then after that, plan out the time frames and then execute.
There you go. So it's vision, make a schedule for it, and go.
Exactly.
Coming from Jamel Dion, a.k.a. The Breather. The Breather, look it, I love that song. I really do. Because I'm like, I kind of, in my mind, I started to think of myself. You ever heard, like, hear, like, when they say, let me just breathe on the record real quick?
Yep, and that's a little bit how...
It's so metaphor. Oh, my God, I loved it. Yep. As soon as I put that connection, I was like, oh my God, I love this song.
And then not only that, the crazy part about it is where the breather actually came from with the actual title. It really stemmed from me not putting out any solo music for a while. And it was just, I'm taking a break for a little bit because I was focused on the Kenfolk collab project. And prior to that, I didn't have like a not even a solo. If we're talking about solo projects, I haven't had one since No Hook, which was summer 2016, and then with the solo records, it would probably have been it was All I Know, because I'm All I Know.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was on the Kenfolk project. So and then always all the time, like when, and mind you, this was all when I was living on campus, going to GCU. Almost every single time, after about maybe a month passes or whatever, some people that I know, they'd be like, "When you dropping some new music?" I just dropped something.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got work and I got class and everything else. Like, I can't just, I can come up with a project on the fly, but I'm like, shit like this takes time.
Right. You get it. Like we were saying, that some people don't understand how much goes into it, how much work before it's complete and ready.
Exactly. And the way that I would describe it is, and ironically, I put the record out on Monday, which was when I started doing Hustle With Me Mondays, but I wasn't doing the actual videos and talking and stuff like that. But yeah, I dropped it on that day. So basically, it was the way I would like to describe The Breather was, with that record and just with how it was marketed and promoted and shit like that, it was like, it was impulse, but at the same time, it was some execution. So impulse with execution, I would say so.
Nice.
So that's
Definitely. I'd say so too. Because that was, I mean, it's all over Instagram right now. That's a common place that is actually bringing in, I mean, Spotify, obviously.
Oh,
but,
Instagram is going bonkers.
Yes. Yeah. Facebook too. But
oh, yeah.
Instagram. Shout out to Instagram. Facebook. Oh, yeah. Out of all the social medias, Instagram seems like it's kind of like the most friendly and stuff. And now even YouTube is turning into a social media where, like, I get so many messages, it reminds me of Facebook now. Because I don't mind the messages. I'm kind of like the different person where I'm like, it's all right, just DM. And I'll, you know that. Like, I'm like, it's all right. I don't sweat it. You know what I mean? Some people I've worked with are like, don't message me because I can't stand like the constant like notifications and stuff. And I was like,
it's called right, putting, you know, I don't be caring. I just be like, hey, because with me, I put my phone on silent because So I just say, I might not get, if I don't get back to you,
I'll get to you when I can.
I'm like, right. If I don't get back to you right at that very second, I'm either at work or I'm doing something, but rest assured, I check my messages every time I look at my phone, so I'm going to get back to you when I got time.
I'm from the customer service place, so it's like, what's your favorite means of communication? That's how we'll talk.
I just tell people, shoot me a message, and then but as far as calling is concerned, it's like, okay, let's figure out a window of time, because I know with me, it's like my schedule can be unpredictable, especially working two jobs right now. And then with Circle K, sometimes they'll switch my hours up on what days I gotta work. But I mean, it all come with the territory. It's like I'm like, if this is all pertaining to my music, my business, I'm finna make time for this shit.
Right. There you go. There you have it. The real life of like, Jamel Dion.
Like, either way, I'm going to make time for it. It's like, if I can make time to go to work for almost 60 hours a week and
hustle,
just do X, Y, and Z, then, I mean, although I'm not getting paid a lot off of my music to where I can do it full time, I'm like, shit, why not? I'm like,
we're going to see some performances pop off?
Huh?
We're going to see some performances pop off? Have you done performances? Talk to the people. Let them know.
Shit, the last time that I've done a performance was probably like in July. But as far as performances are concerned, I've been kind of laying low on that simply just because I'm so focused on trying to create as much demand for myself as possible with like the branding and stuff like that, and really just growing that to where it's like if I'm ever offered a performance or something like that, I know for a fact I'm finna make some bread off of it. And then where it's like, or at least somewhere to the point where it's like, I need this motherfucker in my city right this moment. Like, so basically just, I'm just more focused on trying to build more demand, so to speak.
Okay.
Cause it ain't like I'm too good to perform or whatever. And then also working on stage presence a lot more. Cause I mean, although this is one thing I can admit is, although I know I can rap good, my stage presence isn't all the way there yet. And it's like, I've heard all the time because I think I heard this. When was the first time I heard this? I heard this when I was like 14, when I was watching a Bow Wow interview. He was like, a lot of people think that record sales is where rappers get most of their money. No.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, the shows and touring is where the money at. So if you put on a shitty show, nobody's gonna book you.
Right.
He was like, the shows is where the money at. Like, sales is just bragging rights.
It's true. He's got a point.
So
a huge point.
Very huge. And then I started seeing that a lot more. And then seeing Quentin, shout out to Q the Question. He would always mention that on Facebook or whatever. He'll be like, a lot of rappers ask me, how do I get paid shows in X, Y, and Z, or y'all rappers are so focused on Spotify numbers and stuff like that, when the real money is at the shows. Your numbers and whatever are just stats. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah, Q the Question is actually a close friend. I got a lot of people. He's been on the show, and a lot of artists will mention him actually on the show. And it's true, because I think that the struggle behind it is you're always going to have some kind of barrier that's going to prevent you from the next stage. And the next stage, literally stage, is like to get paid performances. And once you break that barrier, it's pretty much going to be known that you're a paid artist. And you know what I'm saying? It's a struggle, but it's a struggle that can be conquered, is really the main point behind all of that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's just finding your way and not complaining, because complaining takes steps backwards.
Oh, yeah.
Publicly. I mean, we all know that. And public complaining brings you steps back.
And then not only that, it's also a spit in the face to the people that are already supporting you.
Exactly. I don't know how many times I've seen, for example, if you're saying all club promoters suck, and there's actually a club right now looking into you, they're going to be like, next. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because just that, you have no idea who's watching you.
Exactly. And it's like, and that's what made me stop looking into it so much. Cause sometimes I would even like before I started actually putting a little bit, I'm not even going to say bags, but putting a little bit of money behind marketing and promoting my music and actually learning more about it. I remember beforehand just like putting my music on SoundCloud and YouTube and you know what I'm saying, shit like that. And I remember you shared a post where it was like, it said something like, you rappers need to stop waiting for the music industry fairy or something like that. But it was funny. I was kind of like in that mindset where it was like, I put it out and I'm like, all right, let's see if I can get like 1,000 views in like 3 days.
Right.
And it didn't work out that way. And then sometimes I would even, and even my girl could tell you this, I'll just be like, man, like, I've been doing this woo-doo for X amount of years, mm-hmm. X, Y, and Z. Not a lot of people, they checking for this person, but they ain't looking at me, woo-doo, woo-doo. I caught myself in moments like that.
But, mm-hmm.
like, I'll go ahead and admit, I caught myself in moments like that. And then and I don't even know if I remember or not. I may have made, like, a little subtle post about it or whatever, but I never got to the point where I'm just on a big old rant and some other people do, where they're like, man, fuck everybody, nobody's supporting me, y'all want to support the real.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get myself to that level, just for the simple fact, like, if the one time that I do it publicly, it's just not gonna end well.
Yeah, and like for my side of it, I don't mind stirring the pot a little bit, to be honest with people, because it's like, I'm not trying to aggravate nobody, I'm not trying to be an asshole or nothing like that, but that gets people's attention first off, and secondly, it's like, I've said before, I was like, when you're in marketing and you get a new client and their branding isn't up to par, where you see the vision, I see amazing things with every song. It's just my art lies within the marketing end of it, where I see a vision where it's how this should be represented the right way.
Right.
And sometimes communicating with an artist of like, we should find, you know, maybe different artwork, or maybe different. I just make, you know, suggestions and stuff. But also, there's so much that goes into it that can make, you can make something scream, pay attention to me, just off of a color scheme, off of the right representation of it, and where you're branding and putting certain things, right? So more than that, like, to motivate artists, and I'm the real Brian Tyree. There's real to it, you know what I mean? And I started off where I was like, if you're happy with your music career and you're doing things the way that you want to do things, I'm not really talking to you. I'm talking to the artists that want to break that barrier to the next level.
Right.
I'm speaking to the artists that are like, you know, the 1,000 fans I have right now or 500 fans aren't enough. How can I get more? You know what I mean? I want real, like, album sales, not just streams anymore. Whatever the next level is, that's where my content comes out and screams at them. And sometimes the best way to get the attention is just be real and be like, look, nobody out there anymore, I'll say this again, I'll repeat it, that nobody out there anymore is looking for an artist to give them a fan base. Even the most major of the major labels, they want your fan base. Is why they're signing you in the first place most of the time. So it's kind of like backwards and anti. And another thing that I've been touching on that's very important is if I was to stop doing what I do right now and to rap, you better believe that my friends list wouldn't have as many rappers I have as right now, because I would have multiple bloggers and radio people and DJs, not other artists, because what can another artist do for me?
Other than
they can tell, right, they can tell me, yo, these are the steps I took to market it and it did kind of good, but I'm going to get equal to or the same as that result.
Right.
When I can instead change my audience from I'm a rapper and I have 5,000 rappers on my Facebook list to I'm a rapper and I have, you know, even 1,000 DJs could potentially get you, just imagine, you know what I mean?
Because, I mean, ultimately, they're tastemakers, so of course.
Right. And most DJs, like I was, and if you follow Q, you know this, that the radio, FM radio, terrestrial radio, isn't what it used to be because of the fact that you go through the radio, you're going to have to pay all kinds of crazy red tape, you know, fine print, all this shit. And then on top of that, compete with Atlantic Records' $400,000 budgets You know what I mean? QC putting up fucking another 20 grand on top of whatever the major backing is. You got like almost so much money. And what are you going to do with like $4,000? Get swallowed up in a heartbeat, right? And your budget does nothing to compete with everybody else that's above that. Now, if you take a different approach, though, and you focus on the DJs, you get that DJ that's going to be at, you know, hosting an event for High Times, he's going to be also appearing at a movie release or some shit for the after party. And then he's playing your song in a club. Plus, you know, every Monday morning, he's on FM radio. So either way, you get that shit because he likes you. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, network with the DJ and fuck the station, because now you have that access and to do those things. And it's like, it sounds devious, but it's like, wouldn't you call it devious that they're charging $800,000 to your budget for the spin?
Oh, yeah.
Be devious back. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's survival. It isn't devious. And when you're in the industry, especially what I do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I heard the budgets can get real crazy. Like when Like, because I think one time I was watching an interview where it was with Busy Bone from Bone Thugs, and then he was like, I think they asked him what was his take on how these rappers like Migos and Lil Yachty and Lil Uzi Vert and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He was like, they was like, how do you think they got so big to where they are now? He was like, because the labels that signed them, they got big ass fucking radio budgets.
Yeah.
He was like, the radio budgets are fucking huge. They put in like no less than 200. They put in no less than like a quarter million.
Yeah.
So they,
because that's kind of what they got left. That's all they got left.
Mm-hmm. And then I remember Q even posted on Facebook. He was like, every time you're marketing, don't worry. He was like, he always stressed it. He posted this shit like probably like every 4 days. I would always see it. He'll be like, remember, he would always be like, whenever you're pushing a record, worry about radio promotion last, because you're going to be competing with so many different labels, so many different artists for airplay and stuff like that. He was like, more than likely, your money's just going to go in the shitter, especially if you're indie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
And then he will mention that too. Just get
how many artists have put in their songs, though, back when the radio didn't play me?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a clue.
Right. You know? And then
from multiple different sources that even see, they broke that barrier that I was talking about, you know what I mean? To level up to the next stage. So that's where they know it. And that's where most of us get it from, where it's like, I've had too many questions that are like, how many major artists have you worked with? And I'm like, honestly, in my career, maybe 3 to 5, but it doesn't matter, because sending that email is different than sending an email for an independent artist. That, even if that artist, like say Mike Jones, right, was independent at the time, probably still independent right now. He wants to stay independent, but at the same time, you know, This Is 50 is going to open up their doors a little bit quicker.
Right.
Because it's a recognizable name and it's a story. Where the fuck has he been? You know what I mean? So no matter what, there's some kind of earning behind it. Whether the earning is ducking and just not releasing music and building businesses instead. And dude right. was, you know, making production companies and doing things to basically... not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Imagine how many stages, studios, how many, he knows how things are put together. So imagine you kind of fall back, your contract's up, you got millions of dollars. Now you want to reinvest and say, now I know how everything is set up. I'm going to make a beautiful studio. I would do it.
Oh, yeah.
I would do that. Take the knowledge of where I learned from a corporate setting, bring that knowledge home with me, and then after it's said and done, the rent's paid.
Either way, he's still eating.
Right. And then you start, but you're cutting out the big guy and saying, now I can do it at home. I know the recipe. I just put my flavor.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. And that's typical for a lot of Houston rappers to do. Once they get big for a minute, they get their rap money and then just reinvest it into some other shit. Cause I know Slim Thug did that. He got his own construction company. And then I think Paul Wall still got his
jewelry.
His jewelry. And then I think he got a car shop too.
Yep.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that ain't surprising coming from a Houston rapper, of course.
Hey.
And especially in Texas, there's a lot of business opportunities down there.
Yeah, it's interesting and it's fun to learn to see like what different artists have done. So yeah, this has been a great talk, my man. What's you want to leave them with? What's next, what to expect next, and what we can, you know, when we can have you back.
All right. So before I start off with that, Everybody, make sure y'all follow me on social media at
definitely
Instagram, Jamel_Dion. If y'all know how to spell that, that's J-A-M as in Michael, E-L_D-E-O-N. That's the same for my Twitter, Instagram, and Twitter, Jamel_Dion. Facebook, yep. Facebook, Jamel Dion, and then also my website, JamelPenProdigy.com. And then also, and then that's also where you can go ahead and check out all the music. Go ahead and pick you up some merch too, because I just had a giveaway a couple days ago. And just go ahead and lace yourself up for this holiday season to breathe out right now. And then as far as what's next, just go ahead and stay tuned every single Monday for them Hustle With Me Monday videos, me talking my shit on Instagram. And it's going to be something special coming. It's going to be something special. That's all I'm going to say.
There we go. All right. And you all know already where Melody Supply is, melodysupply.com. If you want to find out more, you can search Jamel at melodysupply.com website, and all the links are in all the posts. There will be more posts coming up soon. Indeed. And also, if you're listening on Spotify, check out The Real. It's a playlist. It's by me, and Jamel is on it.
All dark shit.
Yes. The breather, honestly, I'll be honest. That's my, like, get ready for the day jam. It's serious. That motivates the shit out of me. So if you guys are looking for a workout song, skip snooze. You know what I mean? Got the faith to leap and get in that shit. You know what I mean? It's a great motivator record.
100.
So, yeah. You will be back.
Oh, yeah. When you know to tap in whenever you need. So, as far as a set time, everybody, just be on the lookout. It ain't no set one. Just be on the lookout.
Yeah, you got to check every Monday.
You dig.
All right. Signing off.
Signing off.
Be blessed.
100.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.